Hey guys, welcome to the Titanium Vault. I'm your host, RJ Bates III, and today I'm sitting down with the Amanda Webster. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excited. It's always, you know, it's going to be a good podcast when you start 10 minutes late recording because you're just shooting the shit with the guest. And it's almost like, why haven't we hit record? So I know it's going to be a great episode. Amanda, tell the people what it is that you do and how that pertains to real estate investing.
So what I do, I always call myself an operator because someone actually told me yesterday I was an intrapreneur because I don't own Fund and Grow. However, I am the operator who makes it work, right? So I always tell people that I'm an operator. I make all the things happen. That's my specialty, is making sure fulfillment happens, sales happens, marketing happens. I pretty much kind of have all those different hats. But I am currently running a company called Fund and Grow. The owner is very graciously allowed me a lot of room to grow and do some stuff. And he built this empire and then decided that he was going to work as a visionary, which is what you should do. But we specialize specifically in helping entrepreneurs being able to start and grow their businesses. And we love to focus on the real estate world because it's an area that Ari has a huge passion for. I've grown to have a passion for. And it's such a difficult area to get reasonable funding. And so that's kind of where we focus our energy in that sector, because we just love to help people actually be successful there.
Love it. So when you talk about helping people get started, I mean, you're talking about from like the capital aspect of things, right?
Correct. Yep.
So is this for the people that are brand new, they're just getting started, or is this the people that maybe they're already a couple of years in and they know that they can be successful in this industry? Or kind of, what's like the avatar person that we're talking to today that would use Fund and Grow?
So yes and yes. So both, really. So because the beauty of business credit is that it's revolving business lines, right? It's revolving business lines that you can use as you need them. And you don't have all of this red tape that goes into it. So we can help a brand new business because we don't need, you know, 2 years of bank statements. God, try to get an SBA loan. It's like, it makes me want to just hurt myself because it's so painful. No, but we are able to, there's a unique area of funding. This isn't like a brand new idea. Fund and Grow has been around since 2007. The business credit space has been around longer than that. It's just about knowing how to use it to get enough funding that makes sense. Cause, you know, getting something, a revolving line for 10K doesn't really help a lot of people, not really a big deal. But if you can get a revolving line for 100K, that's a game changer a lot of times. So our avatar is specifically people who are just starting, because we can fund a brand new business. We can actually fund a sole prop, and people who are in it and looking for supplemental ways. A lot of people in real estate might have already secured the money to, say, buy their fix and flip homes, but they need the rehab money. They need the extra stuff that they don't want to eat up their cash flow, because then they don't want to be able to have to miss that next deal because it's all in on that one property. So it's a way of, you know, leveraging other people's money is a huge concept in the world. And this is a way to do it, but it's still yours. You're not selling anything for it. It's unsecured. It's not attached to anything. And you're also not paying it back in the moments when you're not using it. So it's truly revolving, very similar to like HELOC, you know, a lot of investors use in that sense, except for a lot of times, you know, a HELOC is going to be attached to something. This misses that component. So it's really everybody. There's only two industries we can't help, which is the cannabis industry because it's not federally recognized, and crypto because lenders just don't like crypto. So they just, you know, ban it across the board.
There you go.
You know, it's the only two industries we can't help, but we specifically built a program around real estate. So we not only we actually build the strategy, we apply for the funds, we negotiate the funds, but then we also teach you how to use it in the real estate sector.
Well, I would say one of the biggest things that we come across in a need for operating capital, specifically in the wholesaling world, is the marketing expenses and all of the systems. Like right now, my favorite tool to use is InvestorLift. It's completely changed our entire business because it lets us know every cash buyer that's in existence, where they're buying deals, how much they're buying. The problem with it is, and it's not a problem, Robert Winsley is an all-American capitalist, but it's expensive as shit. I mean, I pay $36,000 a year for that. And so a lot of people look at that and go, yeah, I mean, I want to be just like RJ, but I've got to go close 10, 20, 30 deals before I'm okay with giving up $36,000. Is that where you guys come in and say, listen, we can add rocket fuel to your business right now. We can get you operating capital for marketing and the other systems that you need. Is that kind of where you really step in specifically with wholesalers?
Yeah. The easiest use case for what we do is exactly what you just said. That's actually how we use our business lines, is it pays for all of our paid ads. It pays for all of our software. It pays for anything in the marketing world. It pays for me to go to events. It pays for me to attend masterminds. It's actually, that's how we use it. It's the easiest use case ever. And it, yes, it extends it, right? So we use it as a, like a charge account more than a revolving. So we basically, I max it out. Literally, I don't plan to, but I do every single month. But then we pay it off every month, but we get the ROI on the marketing that we're doing. But yeah, if you have an offer that you need this, you know, this platform, this software, this whatever, $36,000 is a lot of money. I don't care what pace you're in your business. Like, it's just a lot of money.
Right.
But if you can put it into a revolving line and spread it out, it makes it a little bit easier to kind of, you know, swallow that big charge. But at the same time, something like that is going to give you the ROI very quickly. So I always tell people it is a revolving line of credit. It's housed on a business credit card on the EIN. It's not secured, and you can use it for any business use case. But I always tell people, you have to pay it back. So
right.
Don't go do that and expect you not to have to pay it back. So make sure you have a plan in place of how you're going to pay it back. Same way you would in anything else. The same way you would if you got a traditional business loan and they put $100,000 in your business account. How are you going to pay that back? You've got to start paying that back right away. This gives you a little bit more leg room because you can charge on it. You're only, the minimum payment's only 1% of what you owe. So that makes it a little bit more to absorb on the front side. We at Fund & Grow specifically only target lending offers that have 0% on the front to also offset that. But then on the backside, because interest is always going to come, there's no such thing as a free meal. You have to eventually pay the lender. It's just how it works. We look at the ones that have the best, you know, point systems, cash back, rewards, things like that. So then you can offset it. And that's how, you know, we're going to use it anyways. We're going to have to buy these things no matter what. So why not put it on a card that's going to give me some type of reward for using it? And Ari gets checks every quarter for like $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 just for us using something we're gonna spend it anyway.
Right.
And I do it in my personal world. I'm getting ready to buy my daughter a car. I have money in a savings account for it. I'm not using that money to buy it. I'm gonna use my Chase card so that I can get the points, and then I'll just pay the Chase card off. But why not? It's the same philosophy. And I've learned that game now. So it's like I'm using it. I'm like, all right, which card has this point? Which card's better with airlines, you know? And it makes it where it's just gonna pay you. Even if, and if you don't pay interest, then you're just getting free money at that point.
So you said you guys target the 0%. Is that for like 12 months or how long is the 0% on the front side?
So depending on the lender, depending on what state you live in, it gives us some limitations, right? Because we find some really awesome deals. So they can be as little as 9 months, but they can be as much as 24 months.
Wow.
And with the model we do, we don't, a lot of people in our space, which there's a lot of reputable people and I love them and I follow them because I always want to have my competitors kind of on my radar anyway, but they are either teaching you how to do it and you got to go do it, right? You got to go do it and do it your way. Or they're doing it on a success fee. So they're charging you based on what they get for you. So we took and we're like, no, we're going to build a 12-month program so that we're building these lines over that entire 12 months. So it's not just one and done. We're not teaching it. We're a white glove service. We do everything for you. You don't have to do anything other than fill out some information, be available for like a compliance call. You're going to sign documents so that we can, on your behalf, talk to underwriting and do all of these things, because my funding floor sometimes spends an hour, 2 hours on hold, just getting a hold of the underwriting department to be able to do what we need to do. So this is a way of buying back your time, but we do a flat fee model. We only charge you one price. That's it. And we do all that work for the 12 months, white glove, you know, just a higher level service. That's what Ari envisioned, because that's what he was trying to do, was allow entrepreneurs to not worry about this. We'll handle it. You get to go out and be your, you know, do your deals, do whatever you're doing and not worry about it.
So I know it's kind of taboo to ask this, but welcome to the Titanium Vault. What is the one-time fee?
So the one-time fee, if you look on our website, it's, we don't hide it. It's $39.97, so just under $4,000.
That's nothing.
Yeah. So when you take, and I do the math, when we do webinars, I always do the math of like, here's what it costs for us, right? It's this flat fee. Here's what it costs if you go get hard money loan or you go get some right. capital world stuff. It's just, even a mortgage, it's going to be more. There's no points. There's none of that going on here. Yes, there's interest from the lender once the 0% ends. But if you are able to learn that system and play it the right way, that shouldn't matter. There's always a cost for capital, no matter what you do. It's just mitigating and making it as less as possible.
How often do people sign up for a year and then when you guys are done, they just say, I want you to keep going and sign up for another year?
So we do recommend resting. So I don't like people to sign up right away for the second time, because you want to use the cards and show the lenders that you actually need it. I always laugh. People are like, well, you got me $200,000, but I didn't really need it, so I didn't use it, but I'd like some more. And I'm like, all right, so how would you like me to explain to the underwriter why you need more when you're not even using what they gave you? So I like to tell people to really be aggressive with it and use it, because the beautiful thing about business credit is one of the number one mistakes that entrepreneurs, especially in the real estate world, make is they use their personal credit, their personal money, their personal access, and they're making their scores go down and they're limiting the ability to do things. So the beautiful thing in business credit is it's not showing up on your personal. So you get to separate everything. So now your credit score can just be on your personal. This is building your corporate side, but also you can be maxed out and nobody cares. I max out every single month and pay it off, but our Paydex score and our business credit side is beautiful, because yeah. it's a healthy relationship that we've built. So, and you don't have to worry about it. So then when you need to go buy a personal property and you're going to get a personal mortgage or go buy a new car, these things aren't dragging it down. So getting that separation is key. But to answer your actual question, I would say that depending on the client, repeat customers are actually becoming more and more of a thing than they used to be because of how much the difficulty of getting business loans. Because a lot of people, they use this first, they build up things, and then they get to a point where, okay, now I can get a traditional line of credit or whatever. That world is becoming harder and harder. Even the referral relationships we have with actual direct lenders that do the business regular loan stuff, they keep raising. It's like, I think it's $30,000 or $40,000 a month in actual income into your bank statements before they'll even look at you. And a lot of times people, regardless of how successful you are, you're not holding that kind of money in your bank.
Right.
It's just not, it's not how it works. So it is becoming bigger and bigger. And we have people, someone who I don't know if anyone on this group would know, but Nick Perry, I love to bring up because I love him. And I've watched his journey, because he actually will credit that Funding Grow is the reason he 10x'd his business. He's done a couple of videos on it. Of course, his model has changed a little bit and he's globetrotting and doing all the things now. And we love to see it. But he's probably one of our most successful clients. He has come back multiple times and just continued to build that. He actually has like one of those old business card books that people used to use back in the, and all of his credit cards are in there, because I think he's maxed out now on the amount of accounts they will let him have. But he's great, and he's a great model of that, because he has a tremendous amount of business credit and understands the game and used it to 10x his business, and probably done it more than once now, because I think he finished his third membership probably about a year ago with Funding
Group. That's awesome. Yeah. So I just had Scotty Tregelis on probably 3-4 weeks ago.
Scotty T.
Yeah, and he was talking, and funny enough, mid-interview, he brought up Nick, because to say that Nick had all these points and he didn't know how to use them. So Scotty was talking about like, hey, this is how you really need to be like hacking these cards, right? And utilizing the points. He also brought up Robert Winsley, the CEO of InvestorLift, and I guess Robert was about to drop like 110,000 points on like a flight to Europe. And Scotty was like, no, don't do that. And like with one move, he got him to flight for like 5,000 points. And so it's funny to hear you bring up Nick, because obviously that's an important part of Nick's business. And I have seen him talk about that before. Yeah. You brought up using the personal credit, and I have a very unhealthy relationship with my Experian email notifications. It's like bi-weekly. They're like, you did great. You paid off your credit card. And then I use it. And they're like, you did bad. You used it. Right. You know, and it's like, I don't understand. I thought you gave it to me to use, you know? And so what you talk about, like you're using this to fly to events, to pay for masterminds and things like that. So what are the limits of what you could use this for? Are there any? I mean, and then also, can we use this to buy, like, I wholesale a lot of shitbox houses, okay?
Yeah.
Can I use this to buy, like, a $5,000 property in St. Louis?
Sure can.
I thought that was, like, taboo. I thought you can't do that.
So, if you know what you're doing, you can. So, we actually, that is one of the things that we coach in.
Damn it, Amanda, it's already clear. I don't know what I'm doing. That's why I brought you on, okay? Take my $4,000 already.
Listen, it's one of those things that you have to do it the right way, right? So there are definitely a lot of things to watch out for. Amex is the biggest one. You have to be really careful. They'll only let you use one service to do it the way that we teach, but we tell you that. We actually give material out to everybody on exactly how to pull the cash and ACH wire transfer it over to the closing agent. Now, it's going to show as a regular charge on your card. It's not going to show as a cash advance. You're going to pay a fee. Some of them are as low as 2.5%. Some, and the highest is 2.9% of whatever you send over. However, that's nominal when you're doing deals like that. And also the cost of doing it in a way, you're going to cost you more. The closing agent, it looks like cash. They have no idea that that came in from a credit card on the business side. But like Amex, there's like three services that we recommend to do this on, but only one will let you do Amex. So, but we'll tell you that, right? And they're very easy. They're just merchant processing accounts you can get set up. But there's specific companies that are reputable. Milio's great. You can't do it for that. That doesn't work on our, for business side. It doesn't transfer correct. But like Bill.com is a huge company. We use it for multiple things, but it's one of the ones you can actually set up this type of account. And, you know, let's say there's fix and flip people on here too. You can, let's say you have a contractor who just doesn't have a merchant account. They can't accept a credit card, not just closing on the house. You can ACH it to anybody for any business use case. You just have to have a document, whether it be an invoice, closing statement, whatever it is, so that they can have proof that it's for the business and it's not for you. You can't wire transfer money to your own account. That's not a business use case. So yes, you can do that. And you know, we get up to 250,000 in people for their business, you know, revolving lines. So you technically, if you're buying $10,000 homes, you could do it all over the place.
I mean, okay. So I'm just going to rough scenario. Okay. Mm-hmm. I come to you, I give you $4,000.
Yep.
Next 12 months, you go get me $200,000. Mm-hmm. I go just like we do every single day. We go find a house for $50,000, that's really what could be worth $100,000 if I put $20,000 of work into it. So I take the $50,000, I buy the house. I take another $20,000 and rehab the house. I'm $70,000 in, and I've got that interest free for 9 to 12 months. And then in those 9 to 12 months, I refinance out. I get all of that money. I pay it off, and I rinse and repeat. And I'm essentially, for $4,000, I now can go buy houses for free. Interest free is the only thing it's costing me is 2.5 to 2.9% points up front, which is basically what a hard money loan is. But it's interest free. It doesn't come with the 12% interest every single month.
Yeah.
Why is not everybody doing this, Amanda?
Because they don't know, right? You don't know what you don't know. And I think, to be honest, this is what I come across whenever I'm at events and talking, and that's what I ask people. Why have you never done business credit? Why? People have a weird misconception because it's housed on a credit card. They just don't understand it. And they listen to people like Dave Ramsey, who he has a lot of valid points, guys. I'm not saying he's not an expert in a lot of
things. Does he? Okay, every time someone brings him up, they always say he has valid points, and it's like, all right.
So just,
not to derail you, but give me one good valid point he has, Amanda.
Listen, to live personally debt-free is an amazing goal to have, okay? So that is a valid point of not getting into debt, right?
I'll give you that one.
I'll give him that. However, so I always coin this, and my producer's going to love that I'm going to say it again for like the fifth time this week. So cash is king, right? Cash is king no matter what you're doing. But credit is queen. You cannot live life without credit. I don't like that that's the case, but that is the actual reality we live in, both in your personal, but why not understand that that's how it works in the business world too? Listen, this building I'm sitting in, it's worth over $1 million. I don't know exactly number. You can look it up online. Everything's public, right? So the building I'm sitting in that Fund and Grow is at, it was purchased on commercial lending level, non-recourse. So Ari buys it. If it had not worked, they can't touch him.
Right.
It's completely non-recourse. Well, the only way to get there is to build business credit, to build the corporate trade lines, to build these business credit cards. It's the only way to get there. Now, a lot of people listening may not. That might not be their goal, right? But why not use credit lines to be able to not touch the cash flow? It just doesn't make sense.
But you say it's not people's goal. But I think a lot of times the reason why people don't have goals like that is because they don't think that are obtainable.
They're 100% obtainable. 100%. I'm not saying you go out and get $1 million loan tomorrow. That's not my point. And he bought the first building that Fund and Grow was in first for far less on the same type of platform. But it took him several years of aggressively using his business credit, setting up his corporate credit, which we also do within the membership as well as an add-on. Don't charge anything for it because you need to be set up with Dun & Bradstreet. Get those vendor trade lines going, because if you're a real estate person and you need to rehab anything, right, imagine what a $100,000 trade line with Home Depot could do for you.
Yeah.
And there's no interest on those. And they're not personally guaranteed. They're not secured. They're just net accounts, net 30, net 60, net 90. Well, the only way to get those is to set up your corporate credit account, get everything moving. And we help with that as well, just to make sure, because you have to have both sides to get to that level. So the goals are absolutely attainable. You just have to have the knowledge.
One of the worst parts about flipping houses is cash flow.
Yep.
I mean, it'll kill you. I mean, between the mortgage payments and all the utilities and property taxes, and then, I estimated $30,000 in rehab and it's actually $50,000.
Yeah, you so always where go does, over. Come on.
Where's the extra $20,000 coming from? I mean, it comes from your bank account and it just kills you. But going back to the goal aspect, you talked about, most people might not have that goal. I always look back as when I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional athlete more than anything. And there's times where I wanted to be a professional hockey player, professional NFL player. I wanted to do something, and I was talented at what I was doing. But the reason why I removed that goal in my life is because everyone told me you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like if someone had come along and said, we don't know if you have the talent to do it, but we can at least show you the path to see if you can accomplish this, I would have been completely okay. I still look back. I'm 39 years old. I look back and I'm like, I don't know if the reason why I made it was because I didn't have the talent or because I just got told no for 15 years of my life that I couldn't do it. And I think it's the same thing here where, I mean, repeatedly I talk to people that want to get into real estate investing, and the biggest issue that they have is that they don't have money.
Yeah.
It's not the desire. It's definitely not information. I mean, information exists everywhere nowadays, so you can figure it out. But then it's like someone goes and watches me call 30 leads 2 weeks ago live in an hour and a half, and I got 3 signed contracts. One of those is already assigned for $60,000. So I made $60,000 in 90 minutes. But they look at it and they go, but I don't have the $3,000 to get those 30 leads. $3,000. You know what I'm saying? And what you're saying here is like, that's very achievable to make that happen. When people come to you and they don't have anything set up business credit wise, how long does that process take before they have access to some sort of capital? Because I'm assuming the trade lines that are set up before are like very specific and easy to get, right?
Yeah. So when they come in the door, if their personal credit's good, like it, I mean, I'm not saying perfect, it's good. We can work with it, right? If the only issue is they haven't set up the business, that's easy. That's only dependent on how quickly does it show up on the Secretary of State site, depending on what state you're in. We have, in our portal, we show every single state exactly what you have to do, step by step of just getting it registered. We don't care about anything else. We don't need your operating agreement. We don't need any of that stuff on the front side. There are some lenders who will ask for it occasionally, but you can get all that stuff online. That's an easy fix no matter what. We can send a brand new LLC to funding the next day as soon as it shows up on the Secretary of State site. It does not need to be seasoned. It does not need to have any of that. And all we're going to do is ask some questions that's going to build some projections of what we feel based on what the client tells us that they have the potential to make in that business, and but they need this credit in order to do so, which is how we negotiate these out. So we are, I would say that my floor over here are master negotiators. That is their bread and butter. When we go and apply for these lines, we're doing it the same way you would. We're going to the site. We're applying online. We're letting a computer algorithm tell you whether or not I am worthy of that credit, right? That's doing the same thing anyone else does. However, we don't just stop on what the computer tells us. Doesn't matter if it approves you for $5,000, denies you, approves you for $20,000. Our process is exactly the same. Every single one of those is going to get called over to the underwriting department of that lender, and we are going to get it increased. We overturn denials every single day by talking to a human. These are all about relationships and talking to people, because the system is built on algorithms. The system is built on what the credit bureaus say is worthy and not worthy, right? So that's why we're not afraid to take a credit score that's not perfect. We're not looking for an 810 credit score. That's not what we're about. You do need to have a 680, but that's not that hard. Even if you're at 650 or 620, we have ways to help you and give you guidance on how to fix that, right? Pretty quickly. So I've been in the 500s before, people. Like, I was not perfect. I have had crap credit. I don't anymore. Luckily, I've fixed all that up. It took some time, but I had a car repossessed. Like, I had things on there and I had to wait the time and do some things, but I came in, I actually came in and did my own round of funding for myself, for some side stuff that I like to do. And I created my LLC I'm in Florida, created my LLC online, knew how to do it myself, luckily. But within, I think, a week, I had the funding floor apply for me. I had $70,000 like that, just brand new LLC.
Okay, but help me understand. So you do need to have a 680 minimum personal credit score.
Correct.
But that $70,000 was not on your personal credit. That is business credit.
Correct.
So why do they care about your personal credit score?
So it's the loophole to get around the regular lending side. I don't have to provide bank statements. I don't have to provide tax returns. I don't have to provide proof of anything. They're taking my personal credit worthiness, and that's how they're approving it, through the projections and stuff. So it's a creative way to get around that. And it's usually the only way to get around it for a brand new business. Like, and real estate is the NAICS codes for real estate are all flagged in the lending world, right?
Yeah.
So we even look at that. When you come in, we do a consultation on the front side of how is your business set up and is it going to be a risk factor? Because we may recommend you set up a brand new one just for funding outside of that. And then it's normal to lend from company to company. That's easy.
Right.
So we look at all of those pieces, because there are stupid little things that will get you denied, just really dumb things. And if you don't fix it on the front side, it's just much harder to, you know, sweet talk the negotiations of the underwriting department, we know, in that case. But, you know, the team here, just that's what they do. They spend hours and hours every day. We broke a record in April. And I don't think Zach even knows this. My producer's sitting here looking at me funny. He's been here for 12 years, so he knows this whole journey. One of my negotiators was able to get $4 million secured in April for her clients. Wow. And that's one of the team. The whole team gets an average of anywhere from $23 to $25 million a month in funding.
That's so crazy. I saw on the site before the podcast, you guys have gotten over $1 billion, right?
I think we're at $1.7 billion.
That's insane.
Yeah, I'm excited to hit 2 billion. That's like, I'm really excited to see that ticker. And that ticker is live. People think it's literally live. Every time they hit a button in there, it's registering up. And that's like, when they hit 1 billion here, it was like, it's a freaking party, right? It was just crazy. Right. And I don't even know. I got to plan something of what we're going to do when we hit that 2 bill mark.
I hate to tell you this, but you're screwed. I mean, it's happening today. Because you came on the Titanium Vault. I mean, you didn't know this. This is the greatest podcast of all time. I mean, two billies happening this afternoon.
I'm ready. Bring it.
Question.
Yes.
For those people out there that, you know, decided, hey, I'm going to do business. They didn't listen to my interview with Tom Kroll. They took on a partner. And so one partner has the 480 credit score because they've never paid back a thing in their entire life. And then the other one's got a 750 because they're the responsible one. What happens there?
You only apply with the one that qualifies. You do have to tell the lender about the partner depending on the percentages that the business is set up with. So sometimes we'll tell people, do an amendment, get your percentages right, because that person's never going to be lendable. You got to get them lower and figure that out. But if there's a reason that you can't do that, then we would say we would exclude them as far as the credit goes. But they will be on the app just as a notice that they're – it's kind of like when you're married and you have to disclose that. It's the same type of thing. But their credit's not going to matter because they're not pulling their credit. They're not adding them to the account. There's no like co-signing. That's not how it works in the business credit. There's only one personal guarantor for each line. So you have to kind of notice it, but it doesn't actually matter.
Gotcha. All right. Enough about fun and girl. I want to know more about you.
Yeah.
You're fun. And I want to know who is crazy enough to decide that they're going to go, well, let me retract. I want to know how you even landed on working in this industry, because this is definitely not like something where you're like sitting there 18, 19 years old and you're like, I definitely want to go work for a business credit company. Like, that sounds fun. And then who's crazy enough to do it in 2020? Like, who starts a new job during COVID?
Well, it's a really interesting story. Now, so before 2020, I had no idea who Funding Girl was. Outside of, I knew some people locally who worked, because I've grown up in the same town. So I knew kind of it's in the same town I grew up in. So I've seen the name, no idea what they did. Absolutely no idea what business credit is. No idea, right? I knew there were business credit cards because in other businesses we've had them, but I just didn't understand anything that was going on there. So I wanted to be a teacher when I was little. And I think that I still fulfill that through different ways because I also wanted to, I don't know, be able to provide for my family. And Florida's number 50 in the teacher salary range right now. Literally placed number 50. We're the last state in teacher salary. That came out yesterday. So, no, I love teaching and sharing. And I love to be able to share my mistakes, too. So I actually do that. I'm not a shy, vulnerable person, so it doesn't bother me. No, but I actually answered an ad when I was 18 years old to be a legal secretary. And by answering an ad, I mean in a newspaper, because that's what we used to do, guys. And I took it as a job. I was still going to college. I was a big overachiever in high school, so I had already gotten a good amount of college done before I graduated high school. So I needed a full-time job. I didn't come from money. My parents needed some help, so I started paying them rent. So I, you know, went out and got a full-time job doing that. Ended up falling in love with law, but just didn't want to be an attorney because reasons. And so I ended up growing the ranks and in the Tampa Bay area and was able to end up managing law firms. I was a paralegal, but then also managed the firms, became an office administrator, which is basically the same, just in a law firm title. And but in 2020, I got really burnt out. COVID happened, which was just, it was crazy, not because of the illness for me. I mean, that was crazy too. There was just so much going on. I live in Florida, so it's, you know, we didn't like shut down necessarily, but the schools did. I had to work from home, which at that time I had four children. I have five now, but I had four and one of them was a toddler. And then I had to become a teacher, which as much as I wanted to be a teacher, it wasn't of my own children.
Right.
And so the law firm actually ended up closing down because of COVID. So everyone got laid off the attorneys kind of disbanded. I'm the one that I was friends with that got me in that role. I still talk to. She opened up her own firm, which was great, but she couldn't afford, you know, staff at the time. So I had to start looking. I went as long as I could without working, but as soon as the kids were getting back to school, I'm like, all right, we've kind of taken the savings, we've done all the things. My husband's been in the military now for 22 years, so he was actually running testing COVID sites like all over the state of Florida and was all over the place. And Fund and Grow had an ad, and I answered it, and it was a huge challenge, but in the best way. Learning an industry. Having you know, a huge office to kind of understand. Meeting Ari was just – it was different. He is such a positive force to be reckoned with. He's very like law of attraction. He absolutely into everything about energy and how positive feeds positive. And it was a great, interesting relationship and dynamic that happened, which is – where I didn't start as the COO of Fund and Grow. My previous title was administrative director. And I was basically, I was Ari's right hand, but, you know, just didn't reach the COO level until about, I don't know, 2 years ago. I'm looking at Zach like he knows what I'm talking about.
You were vice president, then COO.
Yeah, we called it vice president, but then most people didn't know what that meant. So we changed it to COO. So it was a very interesting. So, I mean, anyone who's listening, if you didn't know what business credit was, don't worry. I didn't either until 2020.
Hey, that's awesome, though. I mean, that you came on, you took that chance. And then to get to the level that you are now inside the company, and I think that's it's a credit to you, but also to Ari. Right. I mean, to see something in you to give you the opportunity to kind of run with the company. And that's awesome. It's a great story. Where'd you go to college? Is it South Florida?
I was in Florida. I went to St. Leo University. It's a private Catholic university, even though I'm not Catholic. But it's a great university. And I learned a lot about Catholicism, but in a very different way because educational side of it is just different. But no, I went to St. Leo. It was a great experience. They have a great program. It's a huge college. It's a huge, beautiful campus. A lot of people don't know about it, but it was a great experience. I got my bachelor's degree in business management and human resources. Started a master's program, never finished it because I realized it wasn't going to get me anywhere. I started it and never finished because I just got so busy.
I'm just mad that you picked a school that I don't know the mascot. That's like my thing is I always know the mascot. Lion. Lion?
It's a lion.
Do y'all play sports?
They do have sports. I didn't play sports in college. I played lots of sports in high school and actually all my life. But yeah, they have baseball. Softball, volleyball. They don't have like a football team.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think they might have lacrosse. They've got like.
Is it right in downtown Tampa?
No. So that's the one in downtown. There's University of Tampa and then there's USF in Tampa. This is actually in right outskirt of Dade City. So it's north of Tampa. It's in a very rural, weird area, but it's just beautiful.
I remember driving by some school. I drove downtown to go see the Tampa Bay Lightning's arena. And I remember driving
by. That was University of Tampa, which is also a beautiful campus as well. Yeah.
Well, Amanda, this has been awesome. How do people find out about Fund and Grow, which is not Fund and Grow, by the way, which is how I originally wrote the description down below in the video. Glad Amanda caught that. How do you find out about Fund and Grow?
I created a special page and I also created a special offer. So anybody who does come through from your everywhere, not just your podcast, but your whole world, I'm going to give a $500 discount to for signing up. So it'll be $3,500 instead. And we have a BOGO offer. So if they do have a partner, a spouse, you know, a brother, sister, we will give them the exact same membership for free. Still for the $3,500. And you both get your own credit lines. You both get everything just in separate. Not co-signing, completely separate. Separate businesses, all that stuff. So we did. Go ahead.
That's unbelievable. What? BOGO? Nobody comes in with the BOGO offers.
Listen, we're here to help. That's our whole point. And so if it doesn't, you know, we got to give. You got to give in this world to get things, right? So we want to give as much as possible. So I created a special page. It's Fund and Grow, all spelled out, fundandgrow.com/RJ.
There you go. I'll put that in the show notes down below for you guys. That way you can just click on it. Also, for anyone that's watched this far, 40 minutes in, we know you guys have short attention spans, but if you made it this far, we appreciate you. I need to know who wants to see Amanda on a Between Two Belts episode, because I just think that would be so much fun. So, Amanda, are you going to be at Family in September?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there, and I'm game. Let's go.
Okay. So, there we go. In September, going to have Matt set up a room for me. I'm going to bring some of you guys, fun guys, in. Yeah, I'm going to send you the playlist so you can see what you just got yourself into, just so you know.
Doesn't even matter. I'm good. I'm just good. I'll watch it. I don't prep, guys. I don't prep. I feel like if I prep, I don't know. I just don't feel organic. I want to be real and everything. So I mean, I'll look at it because I don't want to walk in and be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. That's how some of them were. I remember, do you know Bob McIntosh?
Yes.
So Bob and I were walking upstairs and I said, have you ever watched Between Two Ferns? And he said, no, what's that? And I said, oh, you're about to find out. And then when we sat down, you know, he's got the bright red beard and the hair. And I was like, so what part of Ireland are you from? And he's like, I'm Scottish. That's how our episode started with him. I asked him to say ye me Lucky Charms at one point in time. I mean, it's a lot of fun. Just saying. Prepare yourself, Amanda.
Next time he needs to wear his kilt. He needs to make sure he's all dressed for it. Let me tell you one last thing, because I just thought of it, and I don't know why. So you were on stage at Family, and you got the belts, and you got all the things going right. So on my funding floor, and I'm going to send you a picture, do you know that we established there is a belt for the person who gets the most credit gains for their client? And it's just like it's a Funding Grow belt. And one who got $4 million this month. It was actually my producer, Zach, who's in the room, is his idea, because he's a big wrestling guy. But we literally created a belt just for the funding department so they could all brag about who had the most credit for their clients. And it just rotates. We had one person who kept that belt for every month for a solid year.
Wow. That's awesome. Listen, I love awards like that. Yeah. People give me a hard time about, like, I now wear them. At different events, and you saw it, right, at Family. Yeah. Someone asked me the other day, I won't use some of the language they use, but derogatory terms towards me wearing it. And it is like, I think you're missing the point. Like, the point here is that it was earned.
Yeah.
Right? I earned those. Your team earns that. It's a sign of, like, being proud of the work that you put into it. And letting people know, why, hey, that's awesome. Dude, to hold it for a year? I mean, it sounds like you've got a big floor, too.
She got a crown. I bought her a crown. The day we knew that she got the whole year, she got a crown. And I'm like, that's yours. No one can take that from you. Because the belt rotates right now. So she lost that belt. But I'm like, on the 13th month, funny enough, she lost the belt. And I said, that's okay, because you got the crown. You are the queen of the funding floor. It doesn't matter. We have 9 or 10 right now funding people that are in there doing that full time. So it's a good team. And like I said, they rock it every month. But the belt is a huge thing around here. It's so funny. We've had people who actually want pictures taken with it. And we go out front and do, like, fun pictures with the belt and everything. And we brag. We love that. We love that around here.
Last thing, I just thought about it. It only took me like 20 minutes to come up with this, but you're saying of cash is king, credit is queen. Mm-hmm. Dude, you need to have a shirt made with that on it, with a chessboard. Because honestly, if you've ever played chess, have you ever won a game with the king? I mean, if you do, it's probably because something else was helping it out. I mean, the queen is the most powerful piece out there. I love that saying, because you're absolutely right. I can't wait to start working with you guys. This is exciting.
I'm excited. Thank you for having me on.
I'm going to go get some BOGOs. And I got all kinds of people that I can do BOGOs with, okay? So
let's go.
All right.
Fund them all.
Fund them all. There you go. Guys, this is our episode with Amanda Webster. Check out the link below. Get your $500 off. Plus, if you have a partner, you can get a BOGO. That's awesome. If you liked today's episode, make sure you give us a thumbs up on the video. And, of course, like always, whose podcast were you on recently? You said David Richter.
David Richter was on my channel. I was on Tom Kroll's.
Tom Kroll's. You're going to go on Justin Colby's?
Yep, I'm going on Justin's. I'm going to fly down to Miami later this month. I did Ricardo live yesterday. Yep. Didn't know it was live till we did it, but it's cool.
So you've been on all kinds of podcasts. Yep. So here's the big difference, guys. All of those podcasts openly accept 3-star reviews, okay? But I only accept 5-star reviews. So if you liked today's episode, leave us a 5-star review. If you didn't like it, go to one of those other podcasts that she was on and leave them a 3-star review, okay? Those people, they're my friends, but they suck at podcasting in comparison to me, all right? That's all I got for you. We'll see y'all next week.